The biopharma industry saw over $65 billion in M&A deals in the first quarter of this year alone. That's the highest level since 2020. So is this just a market correction, or is it a strategic war for the future of medicine? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift across the pharmaceutical landscape. AI is no longer just a buzzword in the lab. It's now designing drugs that are entering human trials. We're also seeing the next major battleground open up in the multi-billion dollar weight loss market. And finally, we'll look at the strategic investments being made on the factory floor to secure the future of drug manufacturing in the US and Europe.
It's a week where capital, computation, and chemistry are converging. The companies that understand how these three forces interact will be the ones that lead the next decade.
Troy, let's start with AI. We keep hearing about its potential in drug discovery, but this week we saw some serious money move. A Google DeepMind spinoff, Isomorphic Labs, just raised an incredible $2.1 billion. What are they building that's worth that kind of investment?
Isomorphic Labs is commercializing the breakthrough technology behind AlphaFold, which revolutionized protein structure prediction. Their platform, IsoDuddy, is focused on de novo molecular design. It uses AI to design novel drug candidates from scratch, in silico, with high binding affinity and optimal drug-like properties for specific disease targets.
Okay, in silico means on a computer, and de novo means from the beginning. So they're not just finding existing needles in a haystack. They're using AI to design a brand new perfect key for a specific biological lock?
Precisely. And it's not just theory. A company called InSilico Medicine just dosed the first patient in a phase 1 trial for ISM-8969, a drug candidate for neuroinflammation that was designed entirely by their AI platform. They specifically engineered it to be brain penetrant, meaning it can cross the blood-brain barrier, a huge challenge in developing drugs for diseases like Parkinson's.
This sounds like a major threat to the traditional R&D models of large US and European pharmaceutical manufacturers.
It is both a threat and a critical opportunity. European and US pharma giants can't afford to treat this as a research project anymore. The threat is that agile, AI-native biotechs can generate better drug candidates faster and cheaper. The opportunity is to partner with or acquire these companies to supercharge their own pipelines.
And for the trading companies and distributors in this space?
They need to be tracking these AI-driven companies for licensing and partnership opportunities. The value is shifting. It's not just about the final drug anymore. It's about the platform that discovers it. Understanding the intellectual property around these AI models is becoming as important as understanding the patent on a molecule.
So what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
You need to ask your R&D leadership a direct question. What is our strategy for integrating generative AI into our discovery pipeline today, not tomorrow? Waiting to see how it plays out is no longer a viable option. You either build the capability, partner to get it, or acquire it.
Let's pivot to a market that is already generating massive revenues, weight loss drugs. This week, Novo Nordisk's oral version of Wegovy was approved in the UK. How significant is this?
It's a landmark approval. This is the first oral GLP-1 receptor agonist for obesity to be approved in Europe. For years, the major barrier for many patients has been the need for injections. An oral tablet dramatically expands the potential patient pool and gives Novo Nordisk a significant first-mover advantage in the European oral market, ahead of its main rival, Eli Lilly.
But we've seen supply issues with the injectable versions. Does approval guarantee they can actually meet the demand?
That's the critical question. The article notes that manufacturing and supply chain complexities will be a major challenge. At the same time, the competition is not standing still. We just saw phase 2b trial data for another oral GLP-1, elecoglipron. It showed up to 11.8% body weight reduction in obese adults and a 7% reduction in blood sugar levels for type 2 diabetes patients.
11.8% weight loss from a daily pill. That's a powerful number. So how does this escalating arms race affect US and European manufacturers?
For the leaders like Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, the game is now about manufacturing scale-up and lifecycle management. They must secure their supply chains for the active pharmaceutical ingredients and the specialized oral delivery technologies. For other pharma manufacturers, there are opportunities in developing second-generation molecules or in becoming key suppliers within that complex supply chain.
What should trading companies and distributors be aware of here?
Market timing is everything. With multiple oral options likely entering the market over the next few years, securing distribution rights will be fiercely competitive. They also need to be prepared for complex pricing and reimbursement negotiations, which will vary significantly between the U.S. and different European countries.
What's the immediate action item for executives?
They need to conduct a strategic review of their exposure to the GLP-1 market. If you are a manufacturer, stress test your supply chain for vulnerabilities. If you are an investor or distributor, map out the competitive landscape for the next 36 months, because the market leader in 2028 might be a name we are just hearing about today.
This brings us to the physical nuts and bolts of making these advanced medicines. We saw a press release that the global CDMO, Recipharm, is making a multi-million dollar investment in its U.S. sterile fill finish capabilities. Troy, what does that signal?
It signals a strategic shift in the pharmaceutical manufacturing backbone. A CDMO, or Contract Development and Manufacturing Organization, is a company that provides drug development and manufacturing services. Recipharm's investment in its Watertown, Massachusetts facility is specifically to boost capacity for plasma DNA, mRNA drug substances, and nanoparticle formulations.
In other words, they're building the specialized factories required to produce the next wave of gene therapies, mRNA vaccines, and other advanced biologics right here in the U.S.?
Exactly. This is a direct response to the growing demand for these complex therapies and a broader industry trend towards onshoring critical manufacturing to enhance supply chain resilience. This isn't just about vaccines. It's about cell therapies, gene therapies, and increasingly complex molecules like antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs.
How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers who aren't in the CDMO business?
It provides them with a critical choice. Either make massive capital investments to build these advanced capabilities in-house, or partner with a specialized CDMO like Recipharm. For many, partnering is the more capital-efficient way to de-risk development and accelerate timelines from the clinical phase to commercial supply. European firms looking to supply the U.S. market now have more high-tech, onshore manufacturing options.
And for the logistics and distribution side of the industry?
They must upgrade their capabilities. These aren't simple pills. We're talking about biologics that often require strict cold chain logistics, specialized handling, and robust tracking. Distributors who can't reliably manage nanoparticle formulations or cell therapies from the factory to the clinic will be left behind.
What is the single most important action for executives to consider from this development?
Audit your manufacturing and supply chain network now for its readiness to handle advanced therapies. Ask your operations team, do we have the domestic capacity and technical expertise secure to produce and deliver our next-generation pipeline, or are we reliant on a fragile overseas supply chain?
Troy, a lot of ground covered today. Can you boil it down for us? What are the three key strategic takeaways from this week?
Certainly. First, AI-driven drug discovery has moved from academic theory to clinical reality. U.S. and European pharma executives must treat AI platforms as a core part of their R&D strategy, not an experimental side project. Integrate or be out-innovated. Second, the race for the oral obesity drug market is here, and it will be won or lost on the factory floor. Clinical results are just the entry ticket. The real differentiator will be the ability to manufacture and supply these drugs at a global scale. Supply chain mastery is now a competitive weapon. And third, the manufacturing infrastructure for advanced therapies is being strategically reshored and upgraded in the West. Securing access to high-tech domestic manufacturing capacity for biologics like mRNA, ADCs, and gene therapies is now a critical priority for ensuring supply chain security and speed to market.
A clear call to action on computation, manufacturing scale, and supply chain strategy.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us at Troy Technical Intelligence. We provide the analysis you need to stay ahead in a rapidly changing global market.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. We'll be back next week with more intelligence on the technology shaping your industry.